This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, Busted Open Radio Nation, to another weekend edition of Busted Open. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKittle. Got Mark Henry across the way, and we got a hell of a bust of shaping up for you today on this Saturday. Mark, well, first of all, how about Goldberg versus The Fiend at Super Showdown? A lot of feelings out there, Mark Henry.
You know, a lot of negative feelings. I mean, who would ever thought that the jackhammer was the weakness that we thought The Fiend would never have? I mean,
That's all you had to do.
Yeah, one job.
All you had to do was learn the jackhammer. If only Seth Rollins had known. All right, so we're going to be talking about that on this best of edition. Goldberg, new Universal Champion. Well, he's the new Universal Champion, the old Universal Champion, and the old champion, well, I think 15, 16 times, yeah. John Cena, he made his return to SmackDown last night. And Mark, well, we got an idea of what is happening on the road to WrestleMania. John Cena will be at WrestleMania. He will be taking on The Fiend, and something I really enjoyed during this best of edition of Busted Open Radio. Mark, we got to talk about some of your stories coming up with John Cena, and really, you were there the first day John Cena arrived at WWE.
I was, and I knew right away that he was going to be a talent. In 2 weeks, I was like, this guy's got it, obviously. His career spoke for itself.
So plenty more coming up about John Cena. We got The Fiend and Goldberg to talk about, plenty on this best of edition. Also, this is the Saturday show, so you know what that means. We have to give you our weekly winner for the best show in pro wrestling for this week. And as we say on this show, if you ain't first, you're last. So find out who is our weekly winner. Click play. Get this show going. Let's go. Busted Open Radio on a Saturday. It was just good old Bill Goldberg coming in with the good old spear and putting the 1-2-3 down on Bray Wyatt. A shocking moment in WWE history. I don't think you can deny that, Mark. I mean, that is what the WWE dishes in, is it not, right? That's the business, shocking people, and
that's,
we certainly were
business.
Shocked.
Yeah. Shock value. It works, and it sells tickets. I really, really was hoping that it would be something a little bit more elaborate, but it was not. But the one thing we did find out was fear is the weapon. Like, if you're not afraid and you attack The Fiend, then it puts you in a positive place for success.
So
and
does that mean—
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Does that mean that Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan, Mark, were fearful? That the opponents,
yes,
prior to Bray Wyatt were bringing fear into the ring, and Goldberg was just this steamroller and just essentially had none?
Yeah, and now it's going to be the mind games that's going to make The Fiend give you fear. He's going to have to put the fear into you. And it's not easy to do, but for The Fiend, the way that he started, the way that we looked at him all those weeks of dominating and showing up and the lights going out and what he did to Miz and Daniel saying he changes people. Like, he didn't change Goldberg. He didn't strike the fear into Goldberg, so Goldberg was able to overcome what all of the advances that The Fiend gave him. And you know, it showed right from the beginning. When the lights went out, Goldberg was turned around and speared him out of his shoes. So yeah, that's the weapon.
Well, listen, we talk about the shock value. We talk about how the WWE deals in controversy, and that's what you want, right? If it bleeds, it leads. You know, there's no press is bad press, and a headline is a headline. Now, you said it puts butts in seats and it sells tickets. Mark, generally, yes, I agree with you. Controversy is a good thing, but I do worry about, and I know you're out there, Nation, and you're going to be chiming in, I do worry about you. I worry about the fan, and I worry about their trust with a company when it feels like they're, I mean, you mentioned the mallet, which is fine. I mean, I don't expect, Mark, that there's going to be payoff in every single angle. I've been a pro wrestling fan far too long to expect that. I definitely have some leeway and some leniency, but when you have two title matches that come in at 4 minutes and 30 seconds, you talk about bang for your buck, you talk about what to expect, you talk about building a narrative and a story, I do wonder if at some point that does turn off a certain section of fans and that they just say, you know what, it's more trouble than it's worth and we're just going to stay away. We're going to go to AEW. We're going to go to NWA. We're going to go to New Japan because they give us a more cohesive story. They give us what they want. Do you think there's any concern whatsoever?
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not. That's why I'm asking you.
You mean to tell me that you watch AEW and you don't ever question AEW? You don't ever look at it and go, man, that could have been better. That's bullshit. Like,
right,
you got to be able to look at everything from the standpoint of everything has a weakness, including The Fiend, including Goldberg, including anybody that's ever got in the ring, anybody that's ever produced it, wrote it. There's always going to be a weakness. Nothing is perfect in wrestling. And that's the beauty of pro wrestling, is the fact that you can still love it and understand it. And wrestling was there for me when nothing else was.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from hundreds of fans, thousands of fans. I went through deaths. I went through so many different pains that you couldn't even imagine. You're going through pain right now. But what do you have? Wrestling. And it's, that's the thing about this business. Like, I know for a fact that if I had the pencil, it would have been different. But the thing that's the most impressive and the thing that people are forgetting is there's going to be probably 200, 225 more shows this year.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania is coming up soon. Do you want damaged product in the ring at WrestleMania? It's too close. It's too important. So there lies in a factor where you want to make sure that your ultimate talents, the talents that are the most important for WrestleMania, that those guys are healthy. That played a factor into it. I guarantee you it did. The force is strong with me. You better ask somebody.
Well, you talk
so
about health.
I hope that gives you some clarity about what's going on. Like, you can't burn these guys to the red line and expect them to recover just in 11 days for Elimination Chamber, and then another less than 2 weeks you go to WrestleMania, and then you expect them to be 100%. It don't work like that. There's gotta be some ebbs and flows.
Now, I am curious, and you're absolutely correct. As you talk about the business and you talk about payoffs and you talk about health, I think all those things are to be factored in. And specifically in terms of WrestleMania, Mark, the marquee, right, with Bill Goldberg, I mean, that is a huge name. Now, listen, I don't know how this is going to play out because as we found out, and we'll get to that coming up here in the next segment, Goldberg's opponent at WrestleMania is going to be Roman Reigns. Now, Roman Reigns has not been the most beloved at different points over the last few years. I think, Mark, and we talked about it extensively on this show, in the last year or so since he came back from his cancer diagnosis and he's, you know, teamed up with his cuzzos, the Usos, right? The Usos, I should say. His Usos, the Usos. There's been a little bit of an added layer to Roman Reigns that I've very much enjoyed. But, Mark, we heard it last night. Now, Boston is a marquee crowd. We knew it was probably going to be like that, but you heard chants for Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg, essentially "you both suck" chants. Then I had flashbacks to Goldberg and Lesnar at WrestleMania 20, right, where the crowd was just over that. That's not what they wanted, and they essentially got booed out of the building. Do you think the WWE's running a risk of this happening at this year's WrestleMania with Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg?
I don't. I think that the crowd was more "you suck" to Goldberg.
Yeah,
this is a time where you're not shoving Roman Reigns down somebody's throat, and the people actually wanted. They were cheering for Roman. They were like, kick his ass, take the title, and then like they want to see Roman Reigns have success again. That's where we've evolved to. And yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think that it's Roman's time, and people believe him. People get behind him. They want to see him. Do they want to see him be champion? I'm not sure. We'll find out. But I know they want to see him be champion more than Goldberg.
Yes. And that's huge, right? If you're looking to get Roman Reigns over, if you're looking to, reestablish that dominance and put him back to where you wanted him to begin with, and I fully understand. I understand why the WWE wants Roman Reigns as their top guy. He's got it all, right? I think he suffered from some problems with storytelling, and of course, Daniel Bryan and Royal Rumble, and it was a timing issue, right? But if you're looking to get him back on track, Mark, who better than to be a foil? Right? Than to have him be
somebody that's hated.
Exactly.
Somebody that's not only hated, but the person has a name. It's a pelt on the wall.
Yes.
You beat Bill Goldberg
at
for the title? Come on, man. That's a nice feather in your hat.
And you make a good point. Right. You talk about who wants to see – everyone wants to see Goldberg get, taken out. And we don't – it feels like when Goldberg came back, he's the babyface, right? He's taken on the Fiend. He's the babyface. He's the returning legend. But Roman Reigns, Mark, is the babyface. I wouldn't be surprised if we get some sort of major turn from Bill Goldberg to where we have a reason to hate him even more on top of, what happened in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and that is, listen, you would be missing the boat if you didn't. That would be a horrible discretion on the behalf of the WWE if they didn't make Bill even more of a pain to the fans. He's going to have to be arrogant, and I told you that I would be champion again. Everybody was on my back about what happened the last time I was in Saudi. Well, look at me now. I would paint the picture of him being the biggest asshole that has ever been in pro wrestling. And you can do it very quickly because it's tailor-made. It's right there. It's laid out for you. The fans are already expressing their dissatisfaction of what happened. Give them more of what they want.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
We had our own cameo last night, and it wasn't just a cameo. It looks like it's going to be a more of a regular thing, and that was John Cena returning to the WWE Universe. But we got some audio. It looked like, for a little bit, Mark, that that's exactly what it was going to be, was just a cameo. This was John Cena last night.
And WrestleMania spots should be earned, not demanded. So this year, I'm betting on the future. This year, WrestleMania goes on without John Cena. I know that makes WrestleMania a bit sour, and I understand. But it also makes tonight very special. Because I don't know the next time I'm going to be back.
Well, I can't help but think, as I listen to that crowd boo John Cena, from the standpoint of, boo John Cena, no, we want you here. We don't want you to leave.
Right.
Stay, John Cena. Mark, I remember a time that even in his home city of Boston, right, John Cena was getting booed. Now, it was against CM Punk and against other fan favorites, but point stands, John Cena used to get booed in that building at different points. It has been a complete 180 for John Cena, and I talked about it with you, Mark. This is a guy that, I remember going to LA. I booed John Cena when he wrestled CM Punk that second time during the Summer of Punk. I booed John Cena plenty as my time as a fan of WWE, but that old saying, Mark, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I really don't think that saying applies any more thoroughly, I should say, I guess, to the return of John Cena. It's very clear that the universe missed this man.
Man, I'm so used to Cena sucks that that was like unfathomable for me. I could not believe the reaction from the crowd last night. I just couldn't. Yeah. Like, I guess you're right. Like, absence does make the heart grow fonder, because he got more love. The first minute and a half, he couldn't even talk. The crowd was, like, constant. It was a constant roar. And every time he got ready to say something, they amped up. I mean, it's like that don't happen for everybody, even the best guys.
Yeah, and you talk about even the best guys. John Cena is unquestionably, whether you love him or hate him, what you can't deny is his importance of the last 20 or so years to this business. And Kelly, I mean, you talked about it. Got our new weekend producer, Kelly, over there. Kelly, you talked about it. You are a part of that generation. You were heading into last night, and you were essentially saying that, you know, I was trying to calm myself down. I didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. But when that music hit, you knew what it was. You couldn't even deny the moment.
Oh, absolutely. I literally have like 4 or 5 of those John Cena shirts. So every time they were showing old highlights of him, I was like, I have that one. And I was trying to tell myself, I was like, you're going to be fine. Like, you won't even care. And once I heard that music, I was screaming like my 11-year-old self again.
Well, I mean, Mark, wow. He is, right? He is the Hogan of this generation. He is the Stone Cold of this generation. He is the guy from that window, and he is back. I guess I am curious. How do you think – I'm very curious, because John is – I mean, he's positive quotes on social media. Now he's Hollywood John, and prior to that, he was the face of the WWE. So I feel like him and as a person isn't – I mean, I feel like we know him, but then at the same time, I feel like we don't know him. Do you think, like, last night, him walking through that curtain, and you talked about the 90 seconds of uninterrupted cheers, like, do you think that was a welcome sight and sounds, or I should say sight and sounds, for John Cena? You think he held on to that?
Brother, I'm so in shock still, like, just listening to it. I think even Chef Surprise John, you looked at his face, and he was just like, what is going on? Like, come on, guys. Like, you're killing me. I'm here trying to say that WrestleMania needs to go on without me, and here you are, like, trying to pull me back in. And it made for a better ending when The Fiend came out, because it gave the crowd what they wanted, even though he was trying to run away. And the way that he put the microphone down in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Like, there were some subtleties to, you know, I'm getting away. I'm not here. It's not for me. I'm here to acknowledge all of you. And that's what we got last night. It was pretty damn amazing, man.
So you bring up Bray Wyatt. He comes out at the end of the show. The lights go down. The Fiend is upon us. He is clearly in the arena. The lights come back on. Cool little shot of John Cena's body blocking out the Fiend, who is sitting behind him. The shot goes to the left. You now see the Fiend. And then the Fiend points at the WrestleMania sign, which I thought was a little bit odd. The Fiend didn't strike me. I said this on Twitter last night. Like, the Fiend doesn't strike me as a pointer, if you will. But I was kind of expecting an attack. I was kind of expecting something else. Mark, this almost felt like that's the way I would expect two baby faces to promo a match for WrestleMania. Were you shocked? They're like, what did you think about the Fiend pointing to the sign? There was no violence. There was no attack. It was very much like this competitive agreement between two workers that they're going to meet at WrestleMania. It felt a little odd to me. But Mark, I look at like the Twitter page of Bray Wyatt / The Fiend right now, and after the loss, you see life is a circle. No matter what beast you make of yourself or how bright one side is, inevitably the dark side comes again. But the beauty of the circle is round we go. The most recent post coming down just 4 hours ago, to my Mockingbird, not a loss, but instead a sacrifice. He wasn't a chapter in my tale. I begin with a mission, and now I'm where I was supposed to be. You'll see. So all very cryptic. You couple that, as I kind of set up, with the visuals of the Fiend pointing last night to the sign. Is this a turn for the Fiend? What do you think's happening with the Fiend / Bray Wyatt and John Cena right now, Mark?
You know what, man? I saw it coming a different way. I would have liked to seen the Fiend look at the sign. Just turn and look at the sign, and John look at him going, and now John points to the sign and goes, points at himself, me? You want me? And then him reacting to it. So the fiend didn't initiate it, but in a roundabout way, he did. But nonetheless, it worked. It served a purpose. They got it in, and now we have John Cena and the Fiend at WrestleMania. It's going to be off. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I agree. It is my main event. I actually wish that Wyatt probably would have retained the title, because I think the main event for WrestleMania, Mark, is probably more interesting if Cena's chasing down the Fiend for a title. The Fiend is going to continue his reign of dominance, which would predate Royal Rumble, which would make me happy because there would be a continuation on some level of one of the belts, thus one of the stories. But it would also give a chance for John Cena to go and break Ric Flair's championship title record, which I think would be a great narrative. So it is unquestionably my main event. But Mark, I go back to the pointing. I go back to the lack of attack. I go to these cryptic messages from Bray Wyatt. Like, do you think that we are seeing a change in the character of the Fiend? Do you think, not necessarily a softening, but just a turning of the character?
I just think we're seeing a change in the guard. I think the focus is on who's going to be there rather than who they're bringing in to garner the attention and the WrestleMania lore. I just really think that John Cena is doing a great job of giving a rub, not to go too much into the underbelly of the whole ordeal, but just to give the fans what they want and the understanding. John Cena is back, but going forward, he's not the future. You know, the future is in the Fiend. And now that the title is off the Fiend,
yeah,
that the attention is not on him needing the title.
I agree with that.
Because he could just come out with his own title, with the Fiend title. And everybody knows that it's not a legitimate title, but it definitely means something to him. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see just exactly how that plays out. You talk about the Fiend and what he needs, or in terms of the character and who needs this win more. Mark, I definitely love this match. Like I said, it's probably going to be my main event, assuming everything holds as we head into WrestleMania. This is going to be the match that I'm going to be most excited to talk about, and I'm going to be most excited to see when I'm down there in Tampa. But Mark, the Fiend slash Bray Wyatt, he has to win this match, right? Like, this match has to go to him. I don't see the I don't see the payoff with that going to John Cena, right? So this is the Fiend's match to lose.
No, the payoff is with the Fiend. It's the Fiend's. No, it's the Fiend's match to win. He has to win it, and it's going to look like the whole time that he's not. But we're going to get that edge put on the Fiend that you kind of wanted to really see in the first place. And John Cena could be the catalyst for him bringing that hateful, despicable monster out. Not only a monster that is tough and cunning and can, you know, you look at it and go, ooh, man, how is anybody ever going to be able to beat that? But you're going to get a Fiend that cheats. You're going to get a Fiend that had to cheat to win. And that's going to give even more of an edge, especially after the secret is out.
Mm.
Now that the secret is out, people can, you know, they have an answer. Oh, I'm not afraid. I'm going to take it to him. And the Fiend could be like, you're not scared now, but you will be.
Right.
And that guy, that Fiend, is going to be even better than this first one.
That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
He's going to have to evolve. Yeah,
I like that. I like that. And I agree with you. We've been months into this now, so there does need to be an evolution of the character. So, and again, I'm not going to make any snap judgments. I think that's one of the things that social media affords is everyone wants to lash out and have an opinion and feel a certain way, especially as you head into WrestleMania. And listen, I do get it. There is supposed to be a huge payoff, but let's make those judgments after WrestleMania and after those payoffs happen. Because, Mark, when you look at WrestleMania, let's just look at the four biggest matches, in my opinion, that are going to be happening on this card. You have John Cena and Bray Wyatt. All right. You have Goldberg and Roman Reigns. Right.
Okay.
You have Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar. And then you have a match that we haven't even really gotten into, Randy Orton and Edge. I mean, you want to talk about star power? You want to talk about four matches that, listen, I understand that you may not like one of
Rhea
those.
Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair.
Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. Brother,
shit,
the way this is
a
going.
Hell of a WrestleMania card.
It could. It could.
SiriusXM Fight Nation celebrates Black History Month every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern on The Ak and Barak Show. All month long, the show reflects on the life and legacy of different influential African-American athletes, such icons as Muhammad Ali.
I'm the king of the world.
Kobe Bryant.
You guys will always be in my heart. I love you guys.
Jackie Robinson.
Robinson dashes to the plate. Safe.
And more. Will be recognized for the impact they made both in and out of sports. The Ak and Barak Show, weekdays noon till 3 Eastern, only on SiriusXM Fight Nation.
All right, Mark, I want to jump into, I kind of teased it before we went to break, but listen, the return of John Cena, it's a big deal. Like, he's been off TV now for over a year. You know, now we're actually getting another match with John Cena, which I know people have been clamoring for. It comes against The Fiend. It's all very exciting. It's an exciting time, but, you know, there was a time prior to that where we talked about it. John Cena wasn't the most beloved character in the WWE. It was very, very polarizing. Very back and forth, and prior to that, he was the babyface. He was the guy. 2005, winning his first title, and obviously, you know, the freestyling and the emceeing and the character that John Cena was, the Doctor of Thugonomics, and then leading into being the face of a generation. I'm just curious, from a man who, well, first of all, you share a huge portion of your career with John Cena. One of your finest moments came with John Cena. Of course, the retirement swerve and the jacket and the World's Strongest Slam and that whole deal. But, I mean, you go back to long before that. You go back to OVW. You go back to, I mean, you were there when John Cena showed up on the scene. So I'm just kind of very curious what it feels like for you to have him back and what you kind of think about when you think about those early years with Cena.
You know, man, I've always been a pro John Cena guy. I've been a fan as well as somebody that remembers his first day when he left California and came to Louisville to train. He was the guy that I really, really enjoyed being around. And John was one, like, he went through this whole deal where he was not eating, like, real food.
Like, oh, so you mean, gummy bears for breakfast, Mark Henry?
No, he would have never ate a gummy bear back then. I mean, he was eating protein and Diet Mountain Dew.
What?
As a diet. Like, the dude, he was eating, you know, he'd eat food, like meat, vegetables, you know, brown rice and stuff. He ate like a bodybuilder. And he was still 275 pounds, just jacked up. And they told him, look, man, you got to lose some weight. And he was like, what? They was like, yeah, we want you to lose some weight. And he got down to about 365, and the only way he could do it was to just drink Diet Mountain Dew and water, a little bit of water, and some protein powder. He was eating protein powder with no liquid in it. Just
what?
Packed down and packed. I was just like, this is so odd to see somebody do.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, you just got to eat some food. He was like, man, they told me I need to lose weight. And I'm like, well, shit. I'm hopeless because you've never seen an ab on me. I mean, you can see veins in the muscle, and they wanted him to get rid of some of that. So, I mean, you know, everybody have their crosses to bear. John also he rode with me. So we would drive to the towns and in Louisville and do shows. And, you know, I started to learn about him and how much he loved hip-hop and, You know, the first chance I got when it was, you know, they would bring in the extras, like I would say, man, you need to hear this guy rap. And he was like, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And it was too late. Like Bruce Prichard got word of it, wanted to hear him rap. And the Doctor of Thugonomics was born. And I can't say that it was me because I wasn't doing the rapping. I just pointed out the fact that, hey, this dude got some other gifts other than looking like he looks. And he's a really, really smart guy. Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever heard it, but John can do the NFL. You play the NFL music, and he could do Chris Berman better than Chris Berman. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Whoop. Whoop.
Whoop.
Just making noises. Listen, we actually saw this with the Ruthless Aggression DVD, or not DVD. I'm dating myself. Documentary, the Ruthless Aggression documentary that is now currently airing on the WWE Network. We're getting a window into that time, those early years with John Cena. And I think I haven't been able to gauge like what type of cat he was when he arrived on the scene, because some people talked about he clearly thought very highly of himself and that he was very talented. What were your impressions of that young John Cena? Was he very confident in his abilities?
Did you ever watch The Matrix?
Of course.
In The Matrix, the character Neo said, what do you mean? Once I start to believe, I'll be able to stop bullets. And Morpheus said, when you start to believe, you won't have to. And that's John having an overinflated idea of who you are and whether or not you're good or not is a byproduct of I put the work in. I know I'm smart. Turn me loose. I'm ready to go. If you don't have that, if you don't have an overinflated opinion of yourself, then nobody else will. It's not going to happen. And I'm very strong on the mental side of sports. And the same thing with entertainment. It's based off psychology. John had both. He's a great storyteller. Loves to pay things off. His style is, I'm going to try to pick Mark Henry up, and I can't do it. I'm going to try to pick him up after I soften him up. I can't do it. Mark Henry is going to splash me, and he's going to miss me. I'm going to feed up in a corner. He's going to run, and he's going to hit the corner. He's going to turn around, and I'm going to pick his big ass up, and I'm going to give him an AA. It paid off. That's the beauty of John Cena. A lot of people don't realize it, but he tells stories based off the person that he's with and is different all the time.
When did you know John Cena was going to make it in this business?
After about 2 weeks.
Really?
Because they would hand him the microphone and he would be fearless and he would make mistakes and he would say, you know, I really didn't mean to say that, but this is what I meant to say. And when you're some, and he was very glib and self-deprecating at times. I don't recall having somebody that knew be able to do that. That was something that people did after, you know, 3 or 4 years of being in wrestling. He was in Louisville for 2 or 3 weeks, and I already knew, this dude going to be live.
Well, I would imagine that didn't sit well with some of the people in the other locker room to have a guy come in that was that confident and that cocky. I would imagine he had to deal with some jealousy and some feelings in that locker room, yeah?
No, John Cena was liked by everybody. He was fun-loving. The only people that were remotely close to being jealous were the guys that were the original OVW guys.
Okay.
Outside of Rod Conway and Nick Densmore, they loved working with John because he was a challenge and he could go with them. And it's very rare that you get a guy that's kind of new that could come in. But he also wrestled about a year in California. So he had a basis already. It wasn't like he was, you know, only two weeks in the business.
So, Mark, as we talk about the past of John Cena and in his time through OVW and some of your early experiences, I'm curious, as we talk about John and his motivations, what do you think the future has in store for John Cena? Because, yes, this matchup with The Fiend is exciting. It's enticing. I want to see it. It's my main event of WrestleMania. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to see more of John Cena in the future. Do you think this is a one-off, or do you think we can see some more of John Cena getting back in the squared circle and being a part of the universe a little more regularly?
I think John will come back periodically, but he won't be working a full schedule. He's out here in Los Angeles beating the streets and trying to come up with really positive roles for him in Hollywood. A lot of these companies, they want him because he's such a high draw and big name that they can sell a show just with one guy. So don't look for John to come back full time anytime soon. He's got bigger fish to fry. He's moved on.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Mark, I'm going to let you start this week. Give me your thoughts on who your weekly winner was in the professional wrestling world of, I don't know what week this started with, February 22nd through, I don't know. I'm not even going to do the date. But this week, what was your weekly winner for this week?
Man, this has been the most confusing week in a long time. There were super elements to every brand of wrestling. Raw was a good Raw. SmackDown was good yesterday. You had the return of John Cena. You had the return of Sasha Banks. And it's hard for me to give anybody a leg up when you have, like, really super returns. But Wednesday, Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair and all the things that went on with NXT was really, really impressive. But AEW started with a 30-minute Iron Man match that was spectacular. It went beyond wrestling. It went beyond a pay-per-view. It was a match that it would be very hard, I think, for even those guys to repeat, even though I thought that it was too much. I thought that you could back down and not kick out of some of those finishes. If somebody backdropped me to the floor, it's over. Like, I'm not going to move. They're going to have to be very strong to get me in the ring, to roll me in there so they can pin me.
Yeah, how about
one of my vertebrae would have shot out into the crowd and killed somebody. Like,
top rope brain busters.
Tremendous. Oh, my God. I mean, it was just so much that went on. And I cannot, and with all that being said and all the hype, I cannot give one match the entire show, even though it was almost half the show. I would have to give that to yesterday's show, SmackDown, with the returns, John Cena coming back, with The Fiend. You got to have the answer to Goldberg and Roman Reigns match being made. I am going to have to give it. If you're not first, you're last. So SmackDown, congratulations.
All right, SmackDown taking the week for Mark Henry. And listen, you're not going to get a whole lot of disagreement from me in terms of the logic of your choice, Mark. I mean, listen, we talk about it all the time. Pro wrestling is art. It is subjective, right? One person isn't going to like something that the next person likes. And if you like big unveils, and if you like big names and if you like big moments, I mean, SmackDown had all of that. But Mark, the one thing that SmackDown didn't really have, okay, I mean, we got Daniel Bryan and Curtis Axel, and there was the tag match in there, and Morrison and Miz and Morrison versus the Usos, and that was great. None of it felt particularly important, and I've talked about this. I'm always going to lean more to match-centric type shows, and you talked about it, and I'm glad you gave a tip of the cap. I thought AEW, and we're going to get to it here in terms of the AEW Revolution preview. We're going to be talking about that here in this hour, and I can't wait for that. You talk about go-home shows, Mark. You had the moment with the weigh-in with Moxley and Jericho. You talked about Jericho getting busted open. I thought that was outstanding. You had the big name. You had the big moment with that happening. But then you also had the match between Pac and Omega. And to see Omega, finally, Mark, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this was probably like the first match that we saw from Kenny Omega that kind of likened back to his time in Japan. Like, this is the Kenny Omega that I thought we would be getting a whole lot more. It was
from the beginning.
Yes. So it was great to see him back and doing his thing where we always thought he should be. That was the best match I've probably ever seen from AEW outside of Dustin versus Cody here in Vegas at Double or Nothing. Like, and listen, you can go back and forth. I mean, we could debate it. That's not really the point. The point is, it was an outstanding match to kick off the show. Half-hour Iron Man match. You also had Jurassic Express versus Inner Circle in there, which was fun. You had the best friends, Hikaru Shida, out there, won a match. There was a lot of wrestling on that go-home show, which I really enjoyed, and it just felt like the most complete, enjoyable show. But I we talk about it all the time. If you're not first, you're last. So I'm giving AEW my weekly winner, but I have no problem, Mark, with you going SmackDown, because listen, how many times are you going to get John Cena returning? How many times are you going to see Goldberg holding a championship on TV? I mean, these are huge moments in the week of professional wrestling. We talked about it. Special week for the business.
You know, and I love the fact that during the contract signing, the fisticuffs that happened, and you had Jericho get busted open, shoot headbutted right in the bridge of the nose. And, you know, I mean, like, how often do you get to say, and he's busted open? And that's exactly what we are. So I enjoyed that. But it wasn't enough for me to get the nod from me, even though it was really, really close. It was really close.
Yep, and listen, that's a good thing, right? Like, close finishes is exactly what we want with the weekly winner. You want to have the debate. You want to look at the different things, because that means that we're having great moments to talk about. And listen, it's not like NXT. Like, when we talk about the weekly winner this week, those three shows, and Raw was good. Raw continues to be really, really good. Like, I would say,
Randy Orton is killing it.
He really is, Mark. And listen, we haven't got to talk about that, or at least I haven't got to talk about that a whole lot, because obviously this show airs on Saturday and it's basically a full week goes by. So I feel like Raw kind of gets left to the wayside a little bit, at least in terms of the Saturday show. Can I just say, as a person who, listen, I respect Randy Orton so very much. I think he's one of the best workers of his generation and one of the best wrestlers of all time, specifically when he's in a heel role. But at different points, I've been lukewarm on Randy Orton. I feel like maybe he wasn't all in on certain angles. And believe me, I'm not judging him. I completely understand. He's been in that company a very long time, and he works a lot of nights. That's not necessarily a knock on Randy Orton. But I also think it's a reality for so many fans out there that at different points throughout the last 10 or so years, Randy Orton has been a bit stale. Mark, this is not stale. This is incredible. Nope. This angle with Edge. I mean, even for someone who's been on the fence about Orton at different points throughout the years, I am 1,000,000% all in on this. This is outstanding storytelling being done between Orton and Edge.
You know what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on Monday. I'm waiting on Raw, because I'm very, very curious to see what Beth Phoenix is going to say about Edge and how his recovery and where his mindset is and everything that's related to that. Like, I'm all in. I'm I'm all in. I'm invested. I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to go. And if you can sprinkle in a couple of good matches where something, there's implications involved, then they might be in the running for being the weekly winner next week.
They absolutely potentially might be, because I'm with you. It's the payoff for the storytelling. That's what I love about Edge and Orton. We're going to get weeks of this, and you can bring in different layers. And as you mentioned, Beth Phoenix, it's all very exciting because, I mean, we don't really know where it's going to go, Mark. We don't know what the motivations are. We don't know. I mean, we know it's going to be Edge and Orton, presumably. And even that, we don't know for sure. I mean, we're going off the assumption, but there's a lot of unknowns in this story, and that makes it exciting.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be desired, too, for what we're going to get leading into Mania. Like, how are they going to go into Mania? And Monday is going to be the big reveal of, yeah, is he healthy? Has he been, you know, kind of sandbagging to get in Randy's head? Like what is the deal? I want to know more. And I think that's what this Monday is going to bring to us.
All right, I'll ask that question out to the listeners because we're about to get to you guys very shortly. What was your weekly winner? Who, in your opinion, had the best show this week in professional wrestling? We didn't even talk about Power, who consistently, yes, they only have an hour, and maybe that benefits them because NWA Power puts out a consistently great pro wrestling product every single week on YouTube. So maybe that was your weekly winner. 877-FIGHT93.
Third degree black belt.
That's right. Karate. 877-344-4893. Before we head into break, let's get to some of these callers. You guys have been waiting patiently as we talk about WrestleMania and looking at Orton and Edge. Well, yes, that will be happening. Also happening at WrestleMania, Bill Goldberg will be defending his new Universal title against Roman Reigns. We got one of our favorites down in Nebraska, Anthony, wanting to talk a little Bill Goldberg. What's up, Anthony, man? Good to hear your voice. How you doing, pal?
What's going on, gentlemen? Missed you the last couple weeks. So
yeah, it's good to be back.
How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good, man. A little tired. I tore my meniscus, but I'm all right. But so, Mark, for you, first of all, my very first 45 when I was 8 years old, probably seven, was Cameo Word Up. It was a black case with pink lettering all over it. So I had that, and I had Kumo D, Wild Wild West. Those were like my two 45s when I was a kid. So just, oh, yeah. Wild Wild West. Heck yeah. Anyway, so, all right. I wasn't too happy about The Fiend losing his title to Bill Goldberg. I was like, oh, it's just, you know, a sell. And then, as I hear you guys talking and I watched SmackDown last night, he doesn't need the title. He doesn't. The Undertaker never needed the title. Like, his the Phenom was the Phenom. And if he was coming for you, he was coming for you. Whether you had a belt, whether you had insulted somebody or whatever. So I can truly see, now I can see dropping the belt being a good thing, because now he can go wherever he wants. He can do whatever he wants and terrorize whoever he wants. So I actually, you guys made me a believer in him dropping the title. I actually really am all about it. And Sonya's dirty. Sonya is dirty, dirty.
Damn Sonya straight.
Dirty. Like She sat there and she basically told Mandy, you need something pretty on your side. You don't need a big man. Big man can't do nothing for you. Man, Sonya don't know nothing from nothing. I'm here to tell you, that is breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart. Big men need love too. Otis is going to get hit.
Amen.
We're gonna have a match for Mandy's hand at WrestleMania. That's what we're gonna have. And it's gonna be awesome. And Tucker the Love Dozer is gonna come out on top. And Becky, the Love Dozer is gonna be all over Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania. It is gonna be great to watch. And maybe they'll even put like Sonya in a cage and Dolph in a cage over at Buffalo.
Oh God!
Or something. Like, I mean, I'm gonna add as many twists as we can. This match fun with it. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Anthony. Yep. Appreciate it, buddy. and rest up over there, heal that meniscus, and know you're battling as well and going through your fight, and we're all following along and wishing you the best, man. One of the true good guys and one of the true true members of the Busted Open Nation, Anthony, down in Nebraska. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.